Open your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go there in just a moment, but Ephesians chapter 1. Last week on the Pentecost Sunday, we talked about here comes revival. Here comes revival. Who's having revival in their life? Who's being shaken and awakened? Amen. All right. Today, our message is entitled Revival Now. Revival Now. One of the most important things in my heart, and I believe it is in the heart of the Father as well, that all the stuff that's going on in the world, we need to be aware of what God's doing in the world, because this is a season of revival. You know, it's just not a season of upheaval. The Bible said these kind of times will come. Hello, somebody? But I want to, you know, I'm not in denial. Listen to me very carefully. I am not in denial, but rather than focusing on, and you hear this word so much, and as Pastor Kevin said, these uncertain, unprecedented times, that I'm almost getting tired of hearing that, because by the Spirit of the Lord, I don't live there. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we are in this world, but we're not of this world. So which means, as believers, we don't have to let what's going on in the world affect us of how we're living by faith. Because, see, heaven's our eternal home. And what we've got forward to, we've got to look forward to is an hour in which the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. Amen. And the dead in Christ is going to rise. And then we're going to, who are alive and remain, are going to be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. I want you to know the times that you and I are living in are times of revival. These are times of revival. Somebody shout, now is the time. These are the times of the moving of the Spirit of God. In fact, it is a marked prophetic season for the fire of heaven to be released on the earth. Now that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking at. You can ask my wife, if when we sit down to watch the news, I'm preaching to them journalists. I am. Because there needs to be a word above what they say, which is the word of the Lord. Amen. Because we're living in a marked season. See, the Spirit of the Lord did not give us a theme of double portion for this season, this year, and then say, I'm not going to fulfill that for you. The Spirit of God knew what was coming ahead, and he knew we would need a double portion of the Spirit of God to live in this day. Come on, somebody. The Spirit of the Lord knew. The Lord knew that in 2020, in this expecting double portion year, he knew we will need and would need and are needing a double portion of the Spirit of God to live in this season of revival. So that we can stand up against the powers of the enemy and loose the powers of God. Hallelujah. This is an awakening that is attracting the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want to say that again. There's an awakening that is attracting the fire of the Holy Spirit. And if we'll get into that awakening and come awake and revive by the Spirit of the Lord, there will be a fire of God that rests upon every born again believer and burns inside with a hunger and a thirsting for God that cannot be quenched or cease. And instead of being bothered by the world, we will be empowered by the fire of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm preaching now. Now listen. What's going on is that God is stepping into the moment. This moment. He's stepping in. As we sang that chorus this morning, Lord, walk with me. In fact, actually, when the team was rehearsing it before anybody was here, I was walking and pacing and praying, because that's how I walk and pray. And here around the altar, and the anointing of God came. And as God, I felt the Spirit of God begin to walk with me. Because see, what's happening is God is stepping into this moment. So wherever you are right now in your walk or in your desire or in your hunger for God, the Spirit of the Lord is attracted to you in your worship and your hunger, and He is stepping into your moment. He is bringing revival right now to where you are. Come on, somebody needs to praise God. He's stepping into the immediate. And He's stepping into the present, the now. Revival now. He's stepped in. He's in this house right now. Where every person is pouring forth his heart, the fire of God is stirring up the empowerment of the Spirit for the hungry and the thirsty. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for the Spirit of God? So right now, I declare this prophetically, right now is the fullness of times. All right? Not just the We already talked about what in the world is going on and what's happening. But now, the Bible talks about the fullness of times, or this season and this hour. When the Bible talks about the fullness of time, it's in reference to what Ephesians says is a dispensation. Or in other words, at a set time of God, which He knew already was going to happen in 2020, and had already planned in His divine power to pour Himself out into our moment, which would release the fullness of times, the anointing of God, into our world right now. See, look, you don't have to be waiting and saying, God, send the fullness somehow, sometime, somewhere, because we need it. We are living right now as believers in the fullness of times. I'll tell you about it in a moment. Revival now. In other words, the fullness of times where God said, I'm going to hold nothing back. How many of you know God's not holding anything back? He's opened the windows of heaven. He's opened the doors. The veil has been torn. He is not holding anything back. In fact, the word pour out means to empty. God is emptying Himself out now in this season, which is called the fullness of times. I'd rather look at the fullness of times and what God's doing than the worst of times that the enemy's doing. Amen. And we've got a choice. We can talk about what the devil's doing, or we can talk about what God's doing. Amen? The Bible says, in His house, everyone speaks of His glory. Everybody talks about His glory, what He's doing in the earth. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. and let's see what the Word has to say. Now, I will not finish this message today. I'll guarantee it. I'm going to have to finish next Sunday. But I want to give you some very powerful truth, because revival is now. Somebody say revival now. Now listen to this. That in the fullness of time, I'm going to back up to verse number 7. Thanks. Verse number 7 that says, in Him, and then we'll come up to, so keep that one on the screen. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one. Somebody say in one. Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. He will gather together. Now, dispensation has to do with an administration. In the Greek word is the oikonomia, and it means to administrate a household or an estate. So in other words, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, or in other words, the administration of the household of the saints in this season. Are you with me? That God Himself, all right, in the administration of revival fire that is going on in the earth. Now, let's go a little bit further, get a little more understanding. A dispensation also means a manager of a house or a master. How many of you know Jesus is the master? He's the master. It also means stewardship. It means religious economy, or in other words, God's economy. You've heard people talk about God's economy. You've heard preachers mention God's economy. Or, well, in other words, God's system of blessing, of releasing provisions divinely, is different from the economy of the world. Our economy is go out and get a job, earn a paycheck, take those wages, tithe to God so He can continue to bless you, and then use the rest of those wages to take care of what you need. That's the earthly economy. But in God's economy, now I want you to understand something. We're in a dispensation or a fullness of time where we are not dependent upon the economy of man. We are dependent upon the governing economy of God, who is the one that's administrating His anointing over the household of faith. Are you here? I am preaching prophetically to you. Over the household of faith, all right, as a manager, as the master of the steward of the house, He is governing that. Somebody give the Lord praise. He's governing that. So as a divine believer, that's why the enemy can't put his hand on you, because God has already governed and said and just declared and proclaimed the fact that the blood of Jesus that covers you protects you from the hand of the enemy. Amen. He already administrated that through His blood on the cross. Are you here? He already administrated that through the power of His divine word. He has already said and declared and given covenant. And what He said, He is not a man that He should lie. And when He has declared it and said it, He has administered it over your life. Hallelujah. So He's stepping into your situation as the governor or the ruler of the universe and the master over your life and your house. And He is putting His hand in your situation. Now, this is good preaching. Now, let's look at this next phrase. He said, in the dispensation of the fullness of time. So, in the administration of the fullness of times. So God is at work in this season. We've got to catch that in our spirit, because what we see in the natural going on, it does not appear that God is at work anywhere. But the Bible says we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. So our trust is not in what we see. Our trust is what God has already said. Amen. And we look beyond the natural in what we can see into the supernatural power of Almighty God, into His Word. Now, He administrates the fullness of times. Let's define it. Fullness of times has to do in the Greek, to be replete or to be full, or to be complete and furnished, or it also talks about the end or the finish time. So in the fullness of times and the time and season that you and I are living in, we are close to the end of the time, but we're not at the end of the time yet. But we are in the fullness of times that leads to the end. Amen. And listen, the end is not as far away as you think it is, or I think it is, or my mind wants it to be. Hello? Because our mind wants it to be out there yet. It wants to be out there a while yet. But God says, look, it's not in for you to know the end. It's only held in the hand and the heart of the Father. Well, one day He's going to say to Jesus, come on, son, step over the portal of heaven and call my children, call the church home. That's in His hand. But watch this fullness of time. Now, fullness, and I've taught this before, but fullness also has to do with what is filled as a container and what fills that container as a content. In other words, the Spirit of God. But the fullness of times, the kairos, the set time of God, God has administrated. He's not shocked. I think that the Lord is more shocked over the fact that we as believers in this season are not praying enough and calling out on Him enough. I think He's more shocked about the church that's not coming awake, that should come awake in this season, than He is about what's going on in this world. I'm preaching better than you're hearing, I'm telling you. It's true. It's the heart of the Father. I mean, I would be that way as a father if my children weren't serving God and I knew the rapture was going to take place real shortly. Man, I tell you, I'd be calling out on the name of the Lord. I'd be talking to them about Jesus. I'd be saying, look, come, let's call on the name of the Lord together, because the day of the Lord is at hand. So in this dispensation of the fullness of times, or the administration of the times, another way to put it would be the governing of the end that God has set in order that He has His hand on. Somebody say, I'm living in the fullness of times. Revival now. Say it, revival now. I think we need to ask ourselves a question. How does God see this season? How does He see it? We know how the world sees it. We're bombarded with how the world sees this season, and how the world's responding to this season. But all that is in the hand of God, how does God see this season? Let me tell you something. Here's what I really believe firmly. And every time I pray, it stirs up inside of me. That what God sees in this season is revival fire pouring out by the Spirit of God in the midst of current lawlessness. That's what he sees. He sees the anointing of the Holy Ghost in fire. He sees signs and wonders and miracles. He sees people who need Jesus more than they've ever needed him before. He sees a hope and a peace in the world because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. How does he see it? So he sees this fullness of times not as a season of defeat for the church, for his children. He sees this season of time as a time of the greatest victories we will ever know and the greatest answer to prayer that we will ever see. Oh, come on, somebody, in this season. I prophesy. Hallelujah. So he sees it. See, he doesn't see the lawlessness. He sees the fire of his presence released out of heaven. He sees his fire energizing and empowering and purifying and purging by the power of his presence in the earth. That's what he sees. Oh, I want to see what he sees. How about you? See, lawlessness is going to be there. In fact, the Bible said that sin is going to abound and lawlessness is going to abound. What we've got to understand is in this season what's going on in the natural, because there is a demonic movement by demon powers of hate and anger and disobedience. Can I just say to you, do not get caught up in the world's attitude. I was watching the news one night and I started getting mad. And the Holy Spirit grabbed me by my heartstrings. And he said, throw that out of your heart right now. Because that doesn't solve any issue. That doesn't help anything. And what it'll do in my life personally, he said to me, is it will block my receiving from the Lord and hearing what I need to hear in this season from the Spirit. We can't pick up the hate of the world. You can't do it. You've got to throw it down. You've got to throw it aside. It'll destroy your life. Anger will destroy your life. Throw it away. Throw it aside. Because what God sees in this season, he knows that's going on. But what he sees in this season is the power of his anointing upon believers and within believers that are changing them so that they can be light in the darkness. They can be love in the hate. Come on, somebody. They can be a witness of the Father to those who don't know Jesus and those who have no hope. Romans 12, verse 11. Let's go there, Romans 12, verse 11. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The Lord's been dealing with me about this fervent spirit for a couple of months. Because fervency has to do with our relationship with the Lord. We don't use the word fervent every day in our English vocabulary. We just don't. We don't go, hey, look, there goes a fervent guy right over there. Look at that lady, she's all fervent. We just don't talk like that. When it comes to the Spirit, all right, this English word, this Greek word has to do with zeal and intensity. It literally means to, fervent means to be white hot. And one translation, or the full translation of it, means the fire of God or the flaming fire of the Lord. To be fervent in spirit means to have a flaming fire of God on the inside of us. A white hot presence of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. Fervent. The Bible does talk about a fervent heat. In the scripture, talks about a fervent heat in regard to hell. And that there will some who will burn, if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, will burn in the fervent fire of hell's fire. But there is a fire of the Spirit of God that He has loosed in this season. It is an anointing that burns deep within inside of us that'll keep us tracking. It'll keep us true. It'll keep us right. It'll keep us faithful. It'll keep us moving in direction with the Spirit of the Lord. It'll keep us alive in the things in the world that are trying to cause death to you, death to the church. I'm prophesying to you today. This message came right out of season of prayer. This whole series. But watch this, fervent zeal. Zeal for God. In other words, it so captivates us that nothing else around can distract us from the fervent relationship we have with the Spirit of God. And the only voice that we hear is the voice of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." It's the voice that keeps us from deceptions of the world. Fervent hearts, fervent spirits. The word spirit there means the breath of God or the Holy Spirit within us, the divine. So he says again, Romans 12:11, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. In other words, with the fire of the Holy Spirit being on fire for God, hot, glowing with the flame of the Lord. There is a burning, ardent zeal inside of us, a devotion for God that nobody can quench. The devils of hell can't stop. That voices of the world can't change. Because it was deposited there by the Spirit of the Lord. And what God puts in your life, the world cannot take away and cannot change. When God puts it inside of you, He's deposited, it's part of you. It's in your nature. It's the anointing of the glory of God. And the devil can't rip it out. Although he will try. But fervent in spirit, serving. The word serving is douleo. It is a bond slave. It is chosen to serve the master. With fervent spirit serving the Lord. So a fervent spirit also means to go forward in faith. Or forward with fervor. Focused on Jesus. Focused on the kingdom. Focused on His work. Not our eyes on the natural. That's one thing that I have just as an individual, as a pastor, my own Christian walk, have had to fight during this season, is to keep my eyes upon Jesus. And not let my eyes droop to all the stressful things that are going on, but to lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help, because my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And if I've had to fight it, I know you have to fight the very same thing. But we lift our eyes. Somebody say, "I lift my eyes." Stay with me. This is powerful. I'm not going to finish this. I'll finish it all next week. but I've got to get to a certain point. The Bible says that because of that fervent spirit, we become a firebrand in the hand of the Lord. A firebrand, it's just like, you know, we're used to branding cattle around here. All right, I like to watch Westerns. I like to watch the kind with cows and horses and roping and branding and all that kind of stuff in it. And a firebrand is something that lays in the fire, ready to be used. Ready to be used. And the moment it's needed, it's plucked up out of that fire as a firebrand and used on that cow or bull or whatever they call them. Steers and all that stuff. And brands them, which is ownership. Now listen to me. You're a firebrand in the hand of the Lord, ready to be used in a branding or in an ownership capacity, so that when God says something is yours, He's going to use you to brand it for the kingdom of... I don't know if you're getting this. Francis, are you getting this, evangelist? Preach this wherever you go. It's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go on. I got to go on. Ready to use by the Spirit of God. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. I'm being very methodical about our message today because there's important truth that we need to clarify. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand." Somebody say they're at hand. But now watch. He says, "Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Some translations may use the word sober. Be sober. But be serious is the New King James. Be serious. It also means this. It means to have sound mind or right mind, or concerned with what is important. We're all having to decide what's important in the world today to us. And as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, that has to be our number one priority. What God's doing in the kingdom, what God is saying about this season, and be serious. This is a serious time. In other words, God's calling the church to get serious about serving Him. That's what revival now is all about. But I'm here this morning because I'm serious about the souls of men and women. I'm serious about them being victorious in their life. I'm serious about the Word of God being preached that'll change and transform their lives. This is a serious issue. Serious. Your children being born again is serious. Your aunts and uncles getting saved is serious. This is serious business. God looks at this season with a very strong and caring and loving heart. And He says also then be watchful or to be discreet and prudent in your prayers. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love. Fervent love. Somebody say, revival is fervent love. The love He's talking about, and then He goes on to say, love one for another, because love will cover a multitude of sin. Now, the New King, or the regular King James Bible, uses the word charity, which is a pretty powerful word when you look in its definition. Because charity is love for God and love for man. Love for God and love for man. It's the agape and the agapeo in action. So revival is marked, we could say, first of all, with fervent love. I mean, when the Spirit of God revives somebody's heart, when you remember back, reflect back to when you were first born again, when you first got saved. You were in love with everybody. Come on. You're excited about Jesus. You weren't afraid to tell people such. And no matter what their background was, no matter what their culture was, no matter what their ethnicity was, it did not matter to you. You were on fire with the Spirit of the love of God, and it was fervent. It was hot. And you wanted them to know the Jesus you knew. That is the first part of revival. Fervent love. Elbow your neighbor and say, fervent love. See, on fire. Here's what the Bible says. First of all, love for God. Matthew 22, 37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the book of Mark adds, all your strength. Love God with all your strength. Because love carries an anointing. Do you understand that the love of God carries an anointing? Because when revival fire stirs us up and shakes us and awakes us, the first thing that awakens in us is the love of God. I've got to get back to God. I've got to get back to the one I know, the one I serve. I've got to get back to Him. That's revival. Come on, somebody. Puts that fire back in our heart to worship, to get into the house of God, to be where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. A love for God carries an anointing because God is love. But watch, I feel this so passionately in my spirit. Verse 38, he goes on to say, this is the first and the great commandment. It's the first and the great commandment. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, real quickly. Go there real quickly. But I want you to see something. Revelation 2 and verse 4. Because this is the church of Sardis. The angel of the church, or excuse me, of Ephesus, rather, and comes to them and said, I know your works. I know everything about you. But in verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Fervent love is revival. There's too many in the body of Christ around the globe, around the world, that are walking through the motions, but they don't have that first fervor in their heart that they once did. This is a season where God, who's administrating the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the fullness of times, the first thing He's releasing on the church is a renewed love for God. Because we cannot effectively love our fellow man in this season of turmoil on the earth unless, first of all, we are on fire with the love of God in our heart for the Father, for the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. First love. You know what He told them to do? Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. See, revival, the fervency of revival is stirred up by repentance. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for being lethargic. Forgive me for being complacent. Forgive me for not praying as much. Forgive me for not reading the Word as much. God, forgive me. I want to be on fire with the Spirit of the Lord.
I got to have that first love back, God. You remember those times where you couldn't get enough from the Word and you would read it for hours and hours. And you'd get on your knees and pray and just pray. And you didn't have to be praying about anything in particular except that you were loving God and you were worshiping Him. That was a first love. And God, revival, He's releasing revival now. Somebody say revival now. It's fervent love. It's fervent love. We've got to love God more than we love our dog and cat. Or our fish or our turtle or our hamster. You know what I'm talking about. We've got to love God more than National Donut Day. And those that got a free Krispy Kreme donut every day this week. And the half a dozen of them I ate yesterday. Well, it was at least that many, I'm sure. Fervent. Somebody say fervent. Love. But now watch. Watch this. Secondly, we have fervent love for others. Fervent love for others. Matthew 22, 39 says, and the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to me. Loving your neighbor does not mean picking up their prejudice or picking up their anger or picking up their division or picking up their offense. That is not loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor is loving them enough to see them delivered from their offense and from their anger and from their hate. Come on, somebody, and from their prejudice. Hate is an antichrist spirit rampant in our world. You're aware of that. You know that. But the Bible says, love them. The believers are to be opposite of the world. The same fervent love for God. We fervently love souls. We love the lost. We love others. Ephesians 4:3 says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's fervent love. Somebody shout revival now.